We're headed to Capitol Hill now to talk about President Trump's rhetoric and his attacks on four minority House lawmakers. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is one of the lawmakers the president railed against Wednesday night at a rally in North Carolina. She said yesterday she has concerns over her safety and is discussing with Democrats whether to ask for additional security.
There is no bottom to the barrel of vitriol that will be used and weaponized to stifle those who want to advance rights for all people in the United States.
So what do you make of the president's messages that these lawmakers should return to the places from which they came? Regardless of your political leaning, do you think the president's comments are out of line? What should the standard be for a president? We're at 800-642-1234 to join in. Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University, where she teaches courses on African-American politics, political participation, and race in elections. She wrote the book called Race and the Obama Administration, Substance, Symbols, and Hope. Andra, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you.
So let's start with this resolution the House on Tuesday approved to condemn President Trump's recent comments directed at four Democratic lawmakers. Just so we're all on the same page, can you remind us where this started, where this firestorm started in the first place?
Well, last Sunday, President Trump issued a couple of tweets that suggested that some members of Congress should go back to the countries where they came from so that they could improve the conditions there. And it was widely interpreted, and it was affirmed in subsequent statements that he was referring to four progressive members of Congress who had been feuding with Nancy Pelosi the week before. And so they call themselves the Squad, and so they're progressive. They all happen to be women of color. So it's Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, and Congresswoman Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts.
And so this drew swift reaction from Democratic lawmakers and led to this condemnation resolution that was passed this week. What does this resolution do?
So it's a non-binding resolution. I think it was just it's symbolic and it should be acknowledged as such. But what it did was to express Congress's disapproval of the statements that President Trump had made. And I think they were doing it largely because you have a member of one branch of government kind of publicly impugning the characters and saying really racist and vile things about, you know, members of their own body. And so I think probably in the minds of the Democratic leadership and those who sponsored this bill, this was a way for them to kind of publicly stand up in defense of fellow members of Congress and their right to serve. They're American citizens, and they're duly elected. And I think it should be noted of the four members of the Squad, Ilhan Omar is a naturalized U.S. citizen. The other three were born in the United States. So the idea of telling people to go back where they came from, one is an offensive trope that's often used against immigrants. It is used against African-Americans as well. You know, when people are told to, you know, go back to Africa or go back to Mexico, even, you know, when they're born in the United States. But, like, in particular, sort of this idea that members of Congress should go back to someplace else as though they shouldn't be serving just because they disagree with the president politically and have been vocal about that. That was what I think they were trying to counteract.
And then take us to Wednesday night at a rally in Greenville, North Carolina, where we heard the chants then that echoed what the president had tweeted.
Yeah. So, you know, during the speech, he talks about, you know, his objections to Congresswoman Omar. And Congresswoman Omar has made some really controversial comments, some anti-Semitic comments. And so, you know, as he was going through the things that she had said, then people in the crowd started to chant, send her back. That was actually met with condemnation yesterday, including from Republicans. And so President Trump has tried to back away from the comments, saying that he didn't endorse the comments that the chants that were coming from the crowd and that they made him uncomfortable. But I think that, you know, there has to be this larger conversation about moral leadership. Would the crowd have felt that comfortable saying that if he hadn't already kind of started the process by suggesting on Sunday that she go back to her own country?
We're getting analysis from Emory University political scientist Andra Gillespie. We're looking at President Trump's attacks this week toward four minority House members. Do you think the president needs to tone down the rhetoric, or is that what you perhaps like about him? Is that all of this just a distraction from other issues? Join in, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Danica calling from Madison. Hi, Danica. What are your thoughts? Oh, and Danica, are you there? No, we can't hear Danica. Andra, there were some conflicts among Democrats about what kind of measure they'd see passed against the president, and some calling for this censure resolution. What would have that done?
So a censure is a stronger condemnation of the president. And, you know, one of the things that would have happened with a censure is it would have put President Trump in a class with Andrew Jackson. So a president hasn't been censured since Andrew Jackson. And so it would have just been a stronger rebuke of the president. You know, it's still, I would argue, would fall into the class of being more symbolic. Like, you know, it doesn't impeach the president. It wouldn't remove him from office, but it would be a more, you know, it carries greater weight. And so it would be a stronger condemnation of him.
Well, let's look at House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, who has been really caught in the middle a bit as she tries to maintain some control over the Democratic agenda. She said yesterday, you have to give the president credit for being a distractor. And here she is on the House floor.
Every single member of this institution, Democratic and Republican, should join us in condemning the president's racist tweets. To do anything less would be a shocking rejection of our values and a shameful abdication of our oath of office to protect the American people.
What is she getting at here, Andra?
Well, I think this is, I think she is articulating why the Democrats in the House in particular felt a need to issue some type of formal condemnation of his speech. President Trump was, you know, attacking freshman members of Congress. He was attacking women of color, which is something that he's done in the past. We see his interactions with journalists, female journalists of color, actually particularly pointed. And he's also attacking members of Congress, like basically saying that they don't have the right to serve in the offices for which they are constitutionally eligible to do and for which they've been duly elected from their districts. And so I think this idea of attacking, you know, members of Congress was something that I think Speaker Pelosi thought members of Congress as a body could gather around, that you kind of close ranks to protect your own. We saw the Democrats do it. We saw four Republicans from vulnerable districts join with them. And we saw Justin Amash, who, you know, is a former Republican, now turned independent congressman, who's been a critic of President Trump, join in that condemnation, that like there comes a point at which one has to say, hey, like this person is a member of my body, they're my colleague, so you put your collegiality kind of ahead of whether or not you have policy disagreements with them or even strategic differences with them.
How difficult is this for House Speaker Nancy Pelosi to negotiate as she tries to focus on an agenda, on agenda items? How does she get the work done?
Well, I mean, you know, it's always going to be difficult to get the work done. And in terms of the end product of, you know, legislation that could actually reach the president's desk for signature, she was already structurally disadvantaged with that, because there are many bills that are going to get through the House of Representatives that, you know, are dead on arrival in the Senate, which is controlled by Republicans. And so Mitch McConnell has seen to it that, you know, there are lots of issues that won't see the light of day in the Senate. And so, you know, the things that will get passed are the things that have to get passed. So things related to the budget, for instance, there are certain things where you do see bipartisan support. So, you know, we have seen certain types of bills actually be able to make it through the entire legislative process. I think the thing that Pelosi is thinking about is how to make sure that Democrats who are, you know, itching to start impeachment proceedings against the president do so in a way that's responsible, in a way that's actually evidence-driven as opposed to not being emotionally driven. And when President Trump has outbursts like this, it becomes even harder to control. So we saw that after the resolution condemning the president's remarks was passed, that, you know, almost immediately Representative Al Green of Texas, you know, is starting a bill to try to introduce articles of impeachment. And it was interesting. You know, our Constitution is very vague about, you know, what you can do to remove office. It just lists the process, and it says that you can do it for high crimes and misdemeanors. But it's left up to Congress to decide what a high crime and misdemeanor is. What Green tried to say last week was that racism was a high crime and misdemeanor. And through this debate, there's actually been a debate about whether or not the attacks or the tweets were racist. I certainly think that they are and would argue why I believe that this is the case, but there are members of Congress who publicly disagree with that.
Well, yeah, and
it's not obstruction, right? Obstruction seems to have more teeth to it. So the idea that you were introducing articles of impeachment for that, strategically, I would argue, was probably not well thought through. But there are a lot of people who feel that way, and, you know, we're gunning for the president as a result of it.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has accused Democrats of just playing politics here. Is that what is going on?
You know what? I mean, I think the Democrats were reacting to a tweet from the president. And while there's always politics and people are always sort of angling for the right strategy, I think it's also really important to point out the ways that President Trump was playing strategy. So after the tweets, earlier this week, we saw members of the squad have their own press conference where they stood up for themselves and condemned the president's remarks. And President Trump is tweeting during the press conference about how now he's backed the Democrats into a corner. Because these women are perceived to be very progressive and, you know, in the minds of some to be extremist in their views, he was arguing that basically by forcing the Democrats to let go of their squabble from the week before about whether or not Pelosi was singling out the squad for being women of color, now he's like, now I've got them all identified with you. And so he's trying to paint AOC, you know, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, and Ayanna Pressley as the new face of the Democratic Party.
And let's pause right there with Andra Gillespie of Emory University. You can join in 800-642-1234. Back in a moment here on the Ideas Network. We're talking about President Trump's attacks against four Democratic minority congresswomen. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. And at that rally in North Carolina this week, the crowd broke into a chant of "Send her back" against Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. She was greeted yesterday in Minnesota with other kinds of chants, warm chants. And this is the latest fanning of flames by the president after he tweeted Sunday that the four lawmakers should, quote, go back and help fix the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came. All four are American citizens. Do you think the president needs to tone down this rhetoric? What do you make of this? We're at 800-642-1234. And Emory University political scientist Andra Gillespie stays with us. Let's take a call now. Let's go to Derek joining us from Galesville. Hi, Derek.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
So I just had a comment about him saying go back to their old countries. I mean, if he really cared about America, they should stay here and help us with our problems, you know? And I don't know why he would say that, because they're American citizens, you know?
Where do you think this will take us?
Well, he's taken us to a bad place already, I think. You know, he said make America great again, but it's not happening.
Derek, thanks for the call, Derek. Let's bring in Steve now in Sun Prairie with that. Steve, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I kind of disagree. I think that what Trump said is a reaction to the identity politics that the left is playing, and I wish at the end of the day Pelosi would get these four women to stop using the identity politics. And I think if they stopped doing it, I think Trump would stop using it as well. And I do wish Republicans would call him out to stop, you know, reacting to their identity politics junk that's out there to try to win votes.
Steve, thanks. Andra, where do you see this identity politics playing a role?
So identity politics is everywhere, and it's not just the province of peoples of color. It is, you know, it's ironic that the caller just brought that up. You know, President Obama got elected using a strategy of deracialization and an attempt to try to de-emphasize racial difference. and promote transcendence so that he could build a multiracial coalition to get elected. And yet President Trump questioned his nativity and questioned whether or not he was a U.S. citizen in a trope that is arguably racist. One of the things I would recommend is I'd recommend a great new book by my colleague Ashley Jardina at Duke University. It's called White Identity Politics. And so she's explaining the ways that white identity, you know, is important, how it can predict vote choice. And it basically really affirms the idea that, you know, race is part of America's original sin is not just sort of politics that people of color play, but that it's also sort of politics that whites play. So, you know, it's a really important book. I highly recommend it.
Let's bring in another call now. Anne joining us from Green Bay. Hi, Anne.
Hello. Well, I think this man is totally out of line. He's crossed the line way too many times, and I really think it's time for him to be impeached. This is not behavior becoming of a president of the United States.
Andra, you were talking earlier about Democratic U.S. Representative Al Green introducing articles of impeachment, this being the third time he's done so. There are now more Democrats in the House on board with this?
Well, if I recall, this resolution got 90 votes, more or less. So this is still definitely not a consensus. The majority of Democrats are opposed to this. What I was saying before the break was, you know, I view what Green did as a largely symbolic act. I get that he was frustrated. On the other hand, strategically, it didn't make a whole lot of sense. He was trying to argue that the president should be impeached for racism at a time where, one, people are arguing whether or not that's racist, and then there's the larger question of whether or not that is what we consider a high crime or misdemeanor. And so what I would say is that
yes, how lucky are we that we are the home of Harley Davidson. Our museum is a perfect tribute to all that that company has given our state. It's 130,000 square feet, so you can spend a good amount of time there. It tells the stories of the people and the products, the culture and the history of Harley Davidson. You can see the bikes, the whole history of the bikes. You can peek into the archives. Some of that has never been opened before to the public, and that is now. Or you could take a guided tour. It's behind the scenes, kind of look at things. You can grab a bite to eat at Motor. Just stroll the museum's Riverwalk or check out the Living Legend walls and plazas.
What about if you really love boats? And we're having some technical issues here at Wisconsin Public Radio as we've been talking about President Trump's tweets this week, getting your thoughts as well with Andra Gillespie, who is an associate professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. Having time here for just a few more thoughts on what is going on. And we had left off here before the power surge on impeachment. Andra, are you still with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so sorry about that. We're having some power surge issues this morning. But just some final thoughts here. Are we going to hear louder calls for impeachment as we inch toward next year's election? Or will House Speaker Nancy Pelosi tamp that down?
Well, I think a couple things have to happen first. One, we need to see what happens during Bob Mueller's testimony next week. One of the things that will get interesting is that impeachment is going to be a really dicey proposition as we get closer to the election. So actually, as we move into 2020, we might actually see calls for that go down. I think probably the big question is how tolerant are Republicans going to be about President Trump's antics? If they become more vocal and start condemning the president's behavior more, then maybe we'll either see greater calls for impeachment or we'll see President Trump tone down his behavior. And so I think it's really incumbent on Republicans to not be afraid of primary challenges and to speak out and call President Trump out for his behavior. So whether or not you agree or disagree with it, there's a certain level of decorum that we're not seeing that I think would actually be really, really needed in our politics right now. And he would be the one to kind of take the lead on that. And he's not doing that.
And when you say it gets dicey as we edge toward the 2020 election, why is that so?
Well, I mean, so part of the issue then becomes, you know, if you're going to remove the president from office, like, you know, what does that look like, you know, if he's, you know, secured the nomination, the Republican nomination for president? You know, right now he doesn't have particularly strong challengers on the Republican side. Does Mike Pence step in? What would people feel about that? And then also there's just the political element of this looks like a political ploy. And so do you then give President Trump additional ammunition to use against whoever the Democratic nominee is? So I think, you know, there are a lot of kind of logistical and actually strategic arguments that would suggest that trying to impeach a president in an election year might not be the best thing to do, especially if you think that you have a chance to remove that president from office via the electoral process.
Andra, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Andra Gillespie is an associate professor of political science at Emory University, and she is also the author of the book Race and the Obama Administration, Substance, Symbols, and Hope. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.